rose from the grave. And I believe that he rose from the grave so that each one of us can have hope. No matter what we're going through, no matter how dark it may seem, we can have hope. I believe that in this world today, one of the things that is missing the most is hope. And I believe that the Lord wants us to know we can have hope in him. I like having hope. I don't know about anybody else, but I like having hope. I like having something to hold on to when it seems like the world's crumbling around me. And when my hope is in God, then I know that I can make it through because I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. So this morning we're beginning a series on hope, and I hope that you enjoyed the young people this morning. And of course we've got more still to go. We have another presentation that will take place later in this service, and then tonight in our youth service, our youth and our children are going to be ministering with me. And we're going to have a wonderful time. So if you came out to support a particular young person that maybe you haven't seen perform and give their ministry yet this morning, they might be doing it tonight. They'll also be doing some ministry again next Sunday morning. So I want to encourage you all to come back. But I also hope that you'll stick with me for the next few weeks as we begin this study on hope. And as we begin to look at what hope means to us and how that we need hope and how we can get hope. There's a lot of different aspects of hope, a lot of things that people think about when you talk about hope. So to begin with this morning, what I want to do is I want to give you a quiz. All right, is there anybody here who has test anxiety? Test anxiety, where you get nervous when the quiz comes. Now, I've called this the hope quiz. Now, to be completely honest, every time that I had a quiz when I was a kid, it was always a hope quiz because I always hoped I would pass it. This one's going to be a little bit easier this morning. I've taken some images from our culture that talk to us about hope. And one of these, the first one I want to throw up here. Anybody know what this is? The Hope Diamond. This Hope Diamond is an incredible diamond. I know it's kind of hard to see because of the way that the light's hitting it, but the diamond itself is blue. It's a really deep blue. And this 45.52 carat blue diamond has a very unique feature. When you radiate it with ultraviolet light and you turn off the lights, it glows red. This particular diamond, anybody know how much it's worth? It's worth somewhere between $200 and $250 million. Can you imagine what you could do with $250 million? So that's the Hope Diamond. Now, when my father was a little boy and you would say the word hope, there was a different image that would come to mind. Anybody know who this is? Bob Hope. Bob Hope. And you know, one of the wonderful things about Bob Hope is he actually encouraged a lot of people. Not only was he America's favorite funny man, not only was he a great comedian, most of you have seen his movies and some of his comedy routines, but he also went out and with the USO, he went out and he would encourage troops to have hope even in the time of conflict. And he went out of his way to support our troops. And even still today in his memory, the USO continues to have different people go and to support our troops and to help provide them with hope. So Bob Hope, I think he was maybe appropriately named. What do you think? Now, this was my favorite movie when I was a kid. What's the name of this movie? Star Wars. A New Hope. You see, when it first came out, everybody called it Star Wars, but the truth of the matter is it was the first in a series. Actually, it was the fourth in a series, but it's the first one that they made into a movie, and they originally called it Star Wars A New Hope. You have this story of how that the entire galaxy had turned dark, and somebody needed to shine some light, and out of the blue, a farm boy is raised up to inspire hope for an entire galaxy. Now, I'm not looking to inspire hope for an entire galaxy, but I'm hoping to inspire hope for you this morning, all right? Now, when my daughter saw this slide, she said, Dad, what does Star Wars have to do with your sermon? It's about a new hope. Now, when I got married, I had to kind of, you know, my wife will sacrifice and watch some of these kind of movies with me, but every now and then I have to sacrifice. She says she likes those kind of movies. But every now and then I have to sacrifice to watch a chick flick. Y'all know what a chick flick is, right? A movie that's predominantly for women. And one of the movies that we watched was this movie right here. Anybody know what it's called? Hope Floats. Hope Floats. There we go. Now, the story itself is about a woman who's down on her luck, a divorced mother, and all the hardships that she has to go through. But the name is what I really like. I really like the title of it because the title signifies that no matter how bad things get, hope has a tendency to float to the top. Hope is something you can depend on. Hope is something you can rely on. So that was, you know, kind of the movie thing. But here a couple years ago, there were bumper stickers and there were posters all over the country that were talking about hope. Now, this is not a political message this morning, so bear with me. But there was this poster and it said hope. Anybody know what this poster ended up being? Who was on this poster for hope? No, not Jesse Jackson. Although he's actually said a lot about hope. Anybody know who was on this poster? It was all over town. It was on bumper stickers. President Obama. He campaigned, and his message that he was campaigning on was twofold. One was hope, and the second was change. It's interesting because here in another year, there's a whole new slew of people that are coming to the surface. And you know what they're campaigning on? Hope and change. And then here in 5 years, when we go through it all over again, guess what they're going to be campaigning on? Hope and change. You see, hope is an important thing. It means different things to different people. But you know what? You're really miserable if you don't have hope. Now, I want to point out what some people have said about hope throughout the years. This first one comes to us from Martin Luther. Oh, sorry. I guess I need to give you the definition of hope first, don't I? Helps to look and see which slide's popping up here. Hope, this is from Webster's Dictionary. Hope means expecting, wishing, being optimistic, intending to accomplish or fulfill, to place trust in with a confident expectation of good. And that's really what the politicians like to try and captivate. They want you to place your trust in them, and they want to promise you that it's all going to end up being good. And no matter what it is that we place our trust in, if we're placing our trust in things, if we're placing our trust in people, we have a tendency to be let down and to be disappointed, right? There are some times that people come through, but most of the time when we put our hope in money, when we put our hope in people, when we put our hope in things, we end up being disappointed at the end of the day, and it only carries us through for a little while before we get disappointed. So I want to talk a little bit about some of these historical quotes on hope. This first one comes from Martin Luther. He said, "Everything that is done in the world is done by hope." What he's really saying is that if anything good is going to happen, it's going to happen because somebody hoped it into happening. Now, there's another quote that we're going to look at here in a moment that I think will maybe say that just a little bit better. But everything that is done in the world is done by hope. Now, I was in Tennessee last week, just over a week ago, for a conference, and I saw this one quote on hope, and it really inspired me, and maybe you've heard it before. It's from Emily Dickinson. She said, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all." In other words, hope keeps on going. Now, I don't know about you, but here with spring finally trying to kick in, I've been awakened each morning to the sound of different birds singing their song. And sometimes it's a good thing. Other times I'm sleepy and I want to get out my son's BB gun and go and find those birds. But most of the time it's a good thing. As those birds are singing, it's something that encourages me. It lifts up my spirits. And so Emily Dickinson said that's the way that hope is inside of each of us. It perches in our soul and it keeps on singing a song that has no words and it just keeps on singing. Hope does not give up. It keeps on going, kind of like the Energizer Bunny, right? All right, let's go on. Dale Carnegie said it this way. So here you have this very successful, very rich, very affluent businessman. And he said it this way. "Most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who kept on trying when there seemed to be no hope at all. Now, when I read this one, it really spoke to me because, you know what, I sometimes go through dark spells. I don't know about anybody else, but I sometimes go through dark times. And now I'm not trying to make a saint out of Dale Carnegie, please understand me. But when I read what he said about the most important things being accomplished because people kept trying even when it seemed like everything was hopeless, that really spoke to me because sometimes I've got to keep on going. Even when it seems like nobody else around me has hope, when everybody else has given up, I need to keep going. I need to keep hoping. And as a result, God's got something big in store for me. Now I'm going to give you my favorite quote on hope. Are you ready for it? It comes to us from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Rome, the Roman church. So in his Roman letter, chapter 5 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, now hope does not, what's it say? Disappoint. Now, everything else we hope in has a tendency to disappoint us. But Paul said, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, when Jesus walked on this earth, he told us that one of the reasons he was here was to give us the Spirit of God, to allow us to have a hope inside of us that comes from God's presence actually being with us every moment of every day. And so Jesus paid the price on that cross, on that first Good Friday, so that he could in turn rise from the grave and then turn around and give us the Spirit of God to inspire hope in us. So this particular verse is kind of going to be our theme from now until Mother's Day, that the Lord wants to give us a hope that will not disappoint. Is there anybody out there that would like to have a hope that will never leave you disappointed? Amen. I want to have the kind of a hope that no matter what's going on around me, I'm not going to be disappointed. I know that at the end of my life, I'm going to see Jesus Christ face to face, the one who died in my place, who paid the price so that I could be free, who rose from the grave so I can live forever. And I know that in that moment, whatever I've gone through in this life will completely and totally be a fading memory because I'm going to be so overjoyed in the presence of God and in the heavenly realm that waits for me. So I know that ultimately hope is not going to disappoint, but the Apostle Paul wants us to understand God wants to give us a hope even right here where we are that will not leave us disappointed. So this morning we're going to begin talking about a hope revelation. And that word revelation, it means something's been unveiled. It means something's been revealed. And you need to understand that in the time of Christ, when he was here on this earth, he was coming at a particular period of time when the people felt kind of hopeless. Their government was being overrun by the Roman government, and it was making things really difficult for them. Things just were not the best that they could be. So they went back and they looked at the writings of what we would call the prophets in the Old Testament. And as they looked at the writings of the Old Testament prophets, they told them certain things to be looking for when God was going to bring hope to the people. And so they began looking for these signs. They began looking for these different things. Some of these things had been prophesied about 1,000 years before. Some of them just a few hundred years before. But they began looking, and one by one, this man, Jesus Christ, began demonstrating each and every one of those prophecies and showing that he was the one who came to bring hope. And so when it comes time, one of the prophecies was he was going to ride into town on a donkey colt. He was going to ride in on a donkey that had never been ridden on before. And as he would ride into this city, the people wanted to know how to respond. So Jesus comes riding into the city, and they go and they look in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 118, and they found a song of how they were supposed to respond when hope came. And so when they began to identify that hope was coming in Jesus, they sang a song. Now, in Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 21 and verse 9, it tells you the way that they sang it. It says, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But that word Hosanna is something that we miss out on. We don't completely understand unless we go back to the song that they were actually singing in Psalm 118 to really understand it. And the first thing that comes out there in Psalm 118, verse 25, the prayer that is being prayed, the cry that is going forth, is, Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. First, I want you to notice, when is it that they're asking for hope? Now. Now, when we had the last election, we thought we were going to get hope. We were waiting for hope. And now we find ourselves 3 years later getting ready to enter into that fourth year. And we're talking about hope again. People want hope. And so they're saying next year will be a year of hope, some people are saying. And then after that, they'll say in 4 more years we'll have hope. Some of you are going to go to a doctor and the doctor is going to tell you you've got this wrong with you, you've got this wrong with you, you've got this going on. And it's going to take a week before you're going to get better, or a month before you're going to get better, or this many treatments before you get better. And so you're going to say, when I get better in a week, a month, a year, then I'm going to have hope. We're always looking for a hope that's in tomorrow, but God wants to give you a hope that's today. He wants to give you a hope that's right now. When you read that, save now, I pray, O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity, it's interesting because when you're talking about being saved, it's not just talking about being rescued. It's talking about how that somebody comes to you and literally sets you free. And when they would sing this in Hebrew, they don't sing it like we would with all these words. They had one word to sing this verse with. And that one word that they had was the word Hosanna. And so they would sing out, just like the kids that were here earlier. They were waving their palm branches and they were singing Hosanna. And we were all listening to Michael W. Smith sing, you know, West Virginia native himself. And he was singing Hosanna. And that's the way that it was. People came together when they saw Jesus coming in and they began to cry out saying Hosanna, which meant, God, we need you to save us now. We need you to set us free now. We need you to send us prosperity. And when did they say we need the prosperity? Now. Now. Now that word for prosperity, it doesn't mean get rich. That's a misunderstanding, a misnomer. That's not what it means. Literally, the word there in the Hebrew for prosperity, it means to move forward. How many times do we have people wanting to take us backward? We feel like we're going backward in a lot of different ways. Your dollar used to buy a whole lot more than it buys right now, right? You know, I remember in the 70s and I thought, man, this is horrible. Prices are so high and you can't hardly buy anything. And I remember candy bars went up to 25 cents. They had been 10 cents just a few days before and they went up to 25 cents. You know what? I'd love to go back to the 1970s when I could get that candy bar for 25 cents. I'd love to go back to the 1970s where I could get a gallon of gas for less than a dollar. We need God to push us forward, and yet so many times we want to go back because we remember how good it used to be. And so when they're crying out this cry and they're saying, Lord, we need hope right now, Hosanna, what they're saying is, God, we need you to set us free from the problems where we are, but we also need you to help us move forward. To a better day, to a better time, to a time when it doesn't matter how much we feel like we've lost and how much we feel like we're hurting. We need to move forward into a better day and into a better age. And so they're crying out for hope. But then you go to verse 26, Psalm 118, verse 26. It said, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, that's what they said. As Jesus was riding in, they said, Hosanna, Lord, save us now, we pray. Send now prosperity. And then they said, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it goes on here and says, We blessed you from the name of the Lord. But that word there for blessing is oftentimes misunderstood. We think of blessing as if Bill Gates were to show up today and write you out a check for $1 million. That would be quite a nice blessing, right? Anybody here could stand to be blessed like that. We look at blessings from the standpoint of what we get. But the actual word for blessing is not about what you get, but it's about what you give. And so when we're talking about blessing, we're talking about not just receiving something, but we're talking about giving something. And the literal Hebrew word there for blessing, barak, it literally means to kneel and to get down on your knees, to pay homage, to show respect to your Lord and to your King. So what we're looking at here is the hope that is coming is going to be coming in the form of the person who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, you notice how that Lord is capitalized? You know why Lord is capitalized? All the letters in Lord are capitalized? The reason that they're all capitalized is because when this was written, they actually wrote out the name of God. But when they would go back to read it, they never pronounced the word of God in the Hebrew because they considered that to be taking God's name in vain. And so they would write out the letters YHWH. They didn't have vowels in their language. It was just consonants. YHWH, which was the name of God. And then after they would write that name, they would break that pen and throw it away because they believed that that pen was no longer worthy to write any other word because it had just written the name of God. So when it tells us that somebody's coming in the name of the Lord, it's telling us that somebody is coming in the name of God, in the name of Yahweh or Jehovah. There's somebody coming who is not just man, but he's also God. And because he comes in this form, he's worthy to receive our blessing. He's worthy for us to be able to give him the honor of a king because he himself is hope. So God wants to come to where we are. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God wants to come to where we are in order to give us hope. And like Paul said, a hope that does not disappoint. So God wants to bring us this hope. The Lord has come to bring you hope. How do you respond to that hope? You respond by blessing the Lord. How do you bless the Lord? You bless the Lord with your life. When you come and you kneel, you are submitting yourself to a Lord. And this is a concept that we've gotten away from in America. We don't really understand it that well. We don't understand the concept of a king or the concept of a Lord. We don't understand these titles. But when somebody was Lord or when somebody was king, and when this is telling us it's God that is Lord, what you had to do was you had to come and submit everything that you had to them because you lived in their country. Therefore, really, what you owned wasn't yours. It was the Lord's. It was the king's. And you prospered only as long as you understood that the very land you were walking on and living on actually belonged to somebody else. You were just a steward of it. And so when Jesus comes riding into town on that first Palm Sunday and they line the streets and many of them take off their coats and they wave their palm branches and they say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What they're really doing is they're saying, God, everything around you, Lord Jesus, it all belongs to you. I belong to you. And in that form of blessing the Lord, they were surrendering their lives to someone who is greater than them. Well, here's what happens when you surrender your life to God. You now become God's priority. You become the one that God is looking out for. You become the one that God is going to take care of. You're his priority. You're his number one. And he wants to take care of you no matter what the cost. That's why God sent his son, Jesus, to die in your place. But if he's going to be your Lord, he can't just be your Lord every now and then. He has to be your Lord all the time. You can't just come and kneel and bless the Lord on one occasion and then do like this same crowd did that had said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A few days later on Friday, they're crying out and saying, crucify him. You see, the way that you live your life will determine whether or not Jesus is truly your Lord. He wants to give you hope. He wants you to be His number one priority. But you have to be willing to bless Him by giving Him your life and making Him your Lord. This is the revelation of hope that they were receiving. That God wanted to give them hope, but the only way to receive it was to give yourself to God. Because Jesus had given Himself for us. The Lord is worth blessing with your life. So this is what happens. You give the Lord your life. You give the Lord your disappointments. You give the Lord your problems. You give the Lord your good things too. You give it all to Him, and He turns around and He gives you hope. God wants to give you a hope that will not leave you disappointed. And so what He does is He takes your disappointments, and in exchange He gives you hope. This was the revelation of hope. Where can I find hope? We find hope in Jesus. There's not hope in any other name that is out there. We find hope in Jesus. If any of the other names out there were going to be enough for us to receive hope, then God wouldn't have had to send His Son to die in our place. We could have just done our own thing and found hope and muddled through. But God loved us enough to send His Son. And so Jesus rides in on the colt of a donkey, and the people cry out, "Hosanna, God save us now, send prosperity now, we pray. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And as they cry out, the whole city gets turned upside down, and everyone begins to realize something is shifting, something is changing. Now tonight in the service this evening, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this revelation of hope. I'm going to talk a little bit more from Psalm 118, but I'm going to talk to you about the cost of hope. Because you see, there had to be a price paid in order for us to have hope. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit about that cost. But before Jesus comes to that point where He's going to be crucified, where He's going to be betrayed, where He's going to be beaten, where people are going to cry out, "Crucify Him," there was one young lady that had realized the hope that she had in Jesus. And she came, and in order to show that she was blessing the Lord, that she was giving the Lord everything that she was, she performed an act of worship that I want you to be able to see today. I don't want you just to be able to hear it. I want you to see it. I want you to be able to experience it today. How that this young woman who came to the realization that hope was in Jesus changed her life in order to get to where Jesus was and to perform this act of worship. So I want you to sit back for just a moment, and after we have this presentation, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray this morning.
Whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came. came through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. And I've come to pour my praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. And I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I've come to pour my praise on him like all. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You were there the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Wherever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you're in need of, God wants to give you hope, to bring you through, and to make you shine. A hope that does not disappoint, that will not leave you disappointed, but will carry you throughout the rest of your life. Here in just a moment, we'll have special prayer for anyone who might be in need of special prayer. But before we do, I want to ask everyone to stand, if you will. And I want to ask everyone to just indulge me for a few moments and to bow your heads and to close your eyes. I don't want anyone looking around. I want to ask a question this morning, and I want to encourage you to answer it honestly this morning. If you're here and you would say, Pastor Darrell, I want to have that hope in Jesus, and I really don't have that hope right now. Would you just raise your hand right where you are so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Brother Darrell, I know Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus years ago. I've confessed Him as my Lord, but I've not really been living like He's my Lord. And I want to renew my commitment to Him, that I will live for Him as my Lord and my King. If that's you and you would say yes, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone to repeat a prayer with me. And those of you that raised your hands this morning, if you mean this sincerely, if this is really what you want to do, to make Jesus your hope and to make Jesus your Lord and your King, then as I'm saying these words and you're repeating them, let them be your words. And then once you leave this place this morning, I want you to continue talking to Him and giving yourself afresh and anew to Him, even every day. It's a daily thing to bless the King. So right now, I want to ask everyone to repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to You. I acknowledge there are areas of my life that I struggle with, and I need Your help. I need Your hope. I need to trust in You so You may give to me a confident expectation of good to come. Lord, I come to You. And I believe that You give me a hope that will not disappoint me. People may disappoint me. Things may disappoint me. But You won't disappoint me. So I give You my life. I give You my heart. I give You my mind. And I ask You to let Jesus wash away my sins and be my Lord. Hosanna, save now, I pray. Help me to move forward, and I will bless Your name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Will you give the Lord a clap offering of praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.